We are here to bring you everything and anything surrounding Porsche. I'm Mike.
I'm Aaron.
And this is P Car Talk.
Welcome to another episode of P Car Talk. I'm Mike.
And I'm Aaron.
All right. We were on spring break. We hope you were on spring break. I know some people are probably on spring break right now, so but whatever. We're back for a little bit, and let's go ahead and thank our people.
All right. We got our P Car Club, Sriracha Boy, the Vimbers, the Combos. We got Gabriel T, Matt W, Leslie N, Chris S, Steve J, Carl K, Ken S, Richard P, Aaron L, Matthew G, Matthew M, Sean H, and Nick F.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. Let's grow that list this spring and summer. Let's do it, right?
Man, it's springtime.
Get it up. Hype it up. So let's get right into it. Mission X concept. You guys might remember this, the Porsche hypercar for the future, but it was just obviously a concept. Rumors are leaking now that this, almost kind of like the Mission E, is going to eventually
move.
Almost kind of a prequel to what's coming. And it hasn't been officially announced yet, but we think it's going to be announced later this year that they are going to be making this car, and it is going to be full EV, unfortunately.
Yeah. Checks out, though.
Yeah. You know, the Porsche's just going really heavy on this kind of stuff, and I want to – there's a lot to unpack here, so let's get ready for this one for a little bit. I'm going to go through some data and stats, and then we're just going to debate this thing a little bit and paddle this thing back and forth. The interesting thing about it is – they're still going to try to keep it mid-engine. So they're going to, unlike the skateboard platforms where they put all the stuff by the wheels and all that, you know, oh, that wheel has its own motor.
Yeah.
I think they're still going to, there's going to be some architecture for that, but I think the core of what they're trying to do is that they said they're going to keep it in the center, and they're calling it the E-Core. That's what they're calling
it. That makes more sense for how it shows.
Yeah, so the way it's developed, right? So it's still going to have a prototypical, I guess, silhouette or window or whatever you want to call to look into a bay. And I think it's going to be
light up or something.
Yeah. Cool. There's going to be an electric cell or something in there so you could see something. That's the gist of that. So some rough estimates, this isn't from Porsche by any means. This was, from Motoring One, pulling some of this data together and just kind of filling in the gaps. And they're actually pretty good at doing this, so that's why I kind of use them as a source.
The calculator did some math.
Yeah, some rough math, meaning like, so basically they went off of like, the 918 hypercar weighed around 3,700 pounds. Mm. And that car wasn't as light as it could be, and it seems like that car isn't that old, but that car went on sale in 2013.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to look
so
at, to see how
11
long
years old. So technology has changed a lot. I would imagine the new hypercar is going to be carbon everything, carbon tub, carbon wheels, as you can imagine, pretty much every light weight saving thing possible. Like there will be nothing that this car isn't weight saving probably on it. Their estimation is probably going to be roughly around that poundage, actually 3,700 pounds, they think. Here's the big one though. They're estimating 1,700 horsepower.
It's a lot of powers.
So do that. 1,700 horsepower and 3,700 pounds. That's
the combo of the battery, like the E-Core or however that's sitting. That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
And if they can get the weight down, which we know they can, because if they can build a Boxster Cayman for around that same weight.
Yeah, so the 918, to give you a horsepower number, was kind of around the 900 with all of the stuff, like all of the motors working, everything on full tilt was right around like 900. Like ish, I think, or 800 ish, something. Don't quote me. It's around that range. So this is almost double that, and it's supposed to weigh roughly around the same.
I bet you. I mean, they'll probably shoot. I mean, that's always the goal for the next car. It's gonna be lighter than the previous.
Absolutely.
But even if it wasn't, I think people would understand because of the battery weight.
Yeah.
And then the power, and then hopefully they would have some type of longevity or distance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't even get into what that would be.
50 miles.
I'm sure by the time this thing comes out, actually what you could probably do, which I didn't do, look at the Rimac Navara and see what the listed range is on that. Because Rimac is helping them build this car, essentially, because they own a portion of their company. So that would make a lot more sense. So to put some price perspective too. So like that data is out there. Now this becomes the big guessing game as far as price goes on this thing. So in 2013, the 918 Spyder cost MSRP with no ADM was $845,000. That's a lot of money.
I know, it's a lot more than that. So that's three times there now.
But that's 2013.
Yep.
The Rimac Navara costs $2.4 million.
Yeah.
So I figured that's it. This is going to be this is going to be the most expensive Porsche car ever.
4,700 pounds is the Rimac car.
Okay.
And that was released in 2018, so maybe battery tax changed.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, some math I was doing, if we see the 918 hybrid came out in 11 years ago, then this full EV is coming out now.
Mm-hmm.
And then our 911 is going to be hybrid now.
Yeah.
So 11 years from now, full EV 911.
Yeah.
Calling it, so.
Probably sooner than that.
I mean, within the 10-year range.
Yeah, you're not off. It's definitely going to happen. So some interesting things, like we've debated not only about this electric car. I think even initially when they flirted with the idea of making this car, we talked about this. So it may sound a little redundant, but it's going to be different. It's going to have a little bit of a twist. Like, so say this is, let's just be on the low side. Okay, the Rimac was 2.4. Let's just call it 2.5.
Okay.
So you spent $2.5 million on this car. Obviously, it's going to be super limited. Only the ultra people from Porsche are going to get an opportunity at this car. So when they built the 918, they built a lot of them.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
If you think about numbers for special things, usually in the blue chip society, as far as collections go, you want something that has only double digits in it, not even triple digits. You don't even want it to be 100 of them made. You want less than 100. So you want basically 99 or less, because that basically is the blue chip mark of, okay, that is rare. Only 99 cars for the entire world. Now we're moving into rarefied air, because there's more than 99 billionaires that are important for this car. So now those big tunas are fighting over this now.
All the tunas.
With that being said, I don't know how many they're going to produce. There's no speculation on how many they're going to produce. 10. How many do you think they're going to
Mission
make?
Mission X, 10.
Yeah, I think there'll be more.
No, they'll have to do that, because their production number is going to be, or their money, their cost to engineer, it's got to be pretty crazy.
Yeah.
After, Rimac and all that. I definitely don't think it's going to be 918 cars.
Again. Absolutely not. I think it's going to be under 100.
I would agree. Somewhere around that. Maybe 250 at max.
I don't see it.
But I don't know why they would need to make.
Not at $2.5 million, because you got to think about that price point for a minute. And even with all the people I mentioned, I think if you stay under 100, they can get them all sold, no problem. Once they go above that, I think they're going to have challenges. Personally, I don't care how, because first of all, you have a challenge with it being all EV. And most of the people that have that kind of money want something that's going to be timeless. And I don't feel like an EV hypercar, halo car, whatever you want to call, is a timeless thing. Because first of all, it's not combustion to begin with. It doesn't make a sexy sound. Even if it makes some whirring noise,
the battery will deplete at some point, no matter if it's being driven all the time or if it's sitting there.
Exactly. And even if it is the powerhouse that it is, it's all of these things and it's great. It's still an appliance at the end of the day.
And there's no battery tender for the battery, is there? Like, is there a conditioner or like?
It didn't get that far.
There's just no one that's thought about it from a collector's
From
that far, as much as we know. I know the architecture will be different.
Well, I'm sure those questions will be asked by those people spending that level of money, and I'm sure they'll either get some,
we'll take care of you, don't worry
about it. Some hot BS from the seller, because you're a salesman and you want to sell a car. It's like, oh my God, you're not even going to have this car. That even if you do have it forever, you come back to us, we're going to take care.
Won't even make it
by that time, you're probably going to we'll probably even have better batteries by then, and it'll be even faster.
Just plug and play E-Core.
You know, that kind of stuff.
This will probably just go Porsche direct, though, is what I would imagine.
Oh, absolutely. This isn't going to get allocations. This will be the 935 race cars type stuff. Like, you get the email from Porsche corporate. They've already gotten the email. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Well, that's not true, because it's a big show me world, and even if they're sworn to secrecy, I guarantee somebody would have leaked it by now, because there's enough pompous, rich assholes out there. Somebody would have been like, boom, got my letter. What? Like, you know, like somebody, it would have been shared. Somebody would have seen
everything.
It.
Like, hey.
Yeah, somebody would have seen it, you know, for some reason. Like, yeah. I think this is, you know, I do think this is going to happen. Do you think this is a mistake for Porsche, meaning
going full electric? No, they have to have a halo car. If they're going to go with their lower lines, they have to have something that.
But I'm saying I agree with a halo car, but do you agree with the EV being the mistake is what I mean, not the halo car itself?
With them doing it, it would still be cool if they combined it, if they have some option where there is a hybrid, since they're doing hybrids other places and they're doing the e-fuels.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be, if it was like, oh, you can only run, if it was some way just tuned where it only runs the e-fuel. So you're either e-fuel or you're fully electric.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And then that way you're zero. It's a zero emission car still, so it still checks that box.
Mm-hmm.
You just get a little bit of the engine noises that one might want.
I want, you know what?
If they made a full EP standard, what they could do would
be kind of cool is like if they made the car EV, but they made it where they sold it to you as an EV, but they also almost kind of like
hot swappable, you throw a motor in there.
Yeah, like how like Dodge did, they sold that big crate with the demons or whatever, and they're like, look, we can't put all this crap on the car, but we're going to ship the car with all of this stuff that we know you're going to put on it anyways. So it's almost like, hey, we're going to ship this car with a V12 and all the fluids and all the stuff, and it'll be dealer installed. So when you buy it, it will be an EV. What you do after that, that's on you.
It'd be cool if they did a flat 12 like they did in that concept car for the 917. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden just comes with them. That'd be...
I mean, I get it from an EPA standard where they have to sell certain... Like, if you're manufacturing the car and your car manufacturer, you have to follow certain regulations and all that stuff. But I feel like, in a way, that day isn't dead yet. And they're behaving as if the day is already dead. Like, I would look at it like there's still sand in the hourglass to use as a last hurrah.
So you think they should have made their hypercar with some type of motor, because we can get away with zero emissions because two different plants, all the things, same thing we talked about before.
Because pretty soon there will be no option for it. Like right now, there's still an option. Yeah, fast forward 20 years from now, there may be zero option to do that. So like what we're talking about now will absolutely not be possible.
They also want to lead though too, and they can't be a leader in that space because no one else has Ferrari hasn't come out with anything fully electric.
No, but I mean they're not unique in the sense. I mean there are like Rimac has a car, like Lambo's coming out with a full EV car. Yeah. Like it's again, I think this is a different thing. Like yes, for a mass production car you want to be first to market, like a Taycan or a Macan or whatever, fill in the blank. Mm-hmm. You do want to be first, you know, Roadster, Porsche Boxster, full EV that's supported by a big brand and it's going to be good to go. Yes, you definitely want to be first to market on that. I totally get that. That is a big selling factor. Like if you're first to market, everybody wants it. For a halo car though, you know, let's just call it 75 so we have a number to pin on it for argument's sake. 75. So you make 75 cars, I don't think you need to be the first. Like, I don't think that's a merit badge that you get by out of all of the, say, all, if they are, let's just say they are. Yeah. Out of all the other manufacturers, you're the top mass production manufacturer that makes a halo car full EV. I think everybody else does not care. The mass public does not care. Like, who cares? This is going to 75 people.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, this is going to be a car that people are like, well, really missed the boat on that one.
Yeah. Like, never going to see it.
Yeah. So. You know, it's going to be one of those like mongerings. You know, you're going to be we'll be at an event or something, you'll see one parked, you know, not because it's in the parking lot, but because it's displayed.
Yeah.
And some patsy spent $3 million on it, and we're going to be like, God, yeah, somebody spent $3 million on that thing, dude? Like, really? Like, they, and again, they're going to play the game. Oh, well, you bought the Halo car, so now the vault's open, so anytime we do something special, you get first dibs, da-da-da-da-da.
Of course, yeah.
So it's like, you jumped on the
list,
yeah. You jumped on the sword to buy this appliance essentially, and I don't see. Just because I don't see it doesn't mean it's never going to happen. But I really did when I wrote this was trying to envision what fast forward this thing. Let's just for argument's sake say it comes out in 2026. So 20 years from 2026, it will be 2046.
Yep.
I don't think anybody's going to turn around and go and be like, man, I'd rather have that mission, whatever, Porsche instead of a McLaren P1.
Yeah, that's true. It's
or I'd rather have that than a LaFerrari. I'd rather have that than a Bugatti Veyron. I'd rather have that than you fill in the blank with any of those blue chip cars that is on your bucket list. Lamborghini Countach, you fill in the blanks. Yeah. I mean, those were the hypercars of their day. Those cars just have so much more soul.
Well, yeah, there's no
with
there's
their no, imperfections.
Yeah, there's no
talk because they're about not perfect.
Raw or feels or any of that stuff when you're you don't get
like
that. You get push and that's it.
Yeah, this is like a silent fart. It'll kill you. It's quiet, but it's not. You know.
Yeah.
But I just don't see it. Just because I don't see it, like I'd like to hear from like everybody who listens to us. Do they feel the same way about these things? Like I don't see this huge gathering of people being like, man, that was like the first Tesla that ever came out, bro. You know, 20, 30, 40 years from now being like, that thing's so sick. What do you get, like 3 miles of range now on that battery, son? Like,
I don't even know what the first-gen Tesla looks like.
I don't think
that's not even been out that long.
Yeah, I don't even think it matters, you know? And it's, I think it's...
Well, I mean, it's a prime example. It just shows what you said and it's the same.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be bought,
put
away. No one's going to...
It's a throwaway product, unfortunately. But a lot of cars are that way, even combustible cars. Like, people need transportation. I totally get that. Not everything it's built that is supposed to be special. However, this is a Halo car.
But they're building this one to be special.
Yes.
Yeah.
Your whole goal is to have specialness around this car. And I feel like that's not...
And I feel like it's even less special because it's almost a throwback to an RS2 or anything else where they've done something else with another company.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like, well, you know, that's really the Rimac motor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a weird position they're putting themselves in.
I almost feel
in.
Like this feels like a thing where, like, everybody, when apps first started, when everybody was making an app and everybody had, like, a good app or a bad app, and everybody's like, oh, yeah, well, they have an app. And you're like, but our app is good, too, and it does this. And then you go on it. You're like, your app's... You can't even connect to it. It sucks.
Yeah.
So like they're almost saying like, well, we got the best. It's going to be the fastest, the most streamlined and all this kind of stuff. And it's like 10 years. So we don't even use apps anymore, dude. We got like this hologram thing now.
Yes, beats
and it's
beats.
Like, all right, cool. It's obsolete. You know, it's like, oh, you know, when plasma TVs come out, you're like, we're the first ones to market with LCD TV. Yeah. Oh my God, this is the end all. We're never going to have anything else again. No.
Until it's 8 times better resolution.
Mm-hmm. So my point of that is they've been making combustion engines since the dawn of time.
Yeah.
They're still making them for a reason. I'm not anti-EV, but I'm anti-EV for special cars.
That's fine.
No, they're great for, I mean, someday I could see myself tooling around a Macan EV or something for city use, but I just don't like the brand that I'm such a homer about. I feel like of all the things that they've thrown at the wall that have stuck, this is what the real baffling thing, and I'm sure everybody listening, if you haven't connected the dots where I'm going with this, and you will too. Oh, we built a Boxster RS, you know, Spider RS. Oh, we built a GT4 RS. We did this. We're going to build a GT2 RS hybrid thing. We're going to do this. We built a cell phone. We're flying, you know, we got a flying machine. We're going to build an EV hypercar. What? Dude, that sounds boring.
It is.
Of all the stuff, all the cool stuff, like you've thrown at the wall, all these... Juice. Oh, we're going to build an ST. We're going to do a Carrera RS. We're going to do all of this new stuff.
But we knew that with them doing all that, something else, something boring was going to happen.
Yeah. Well, I was hoping it was like the Taycan GT. I hope that was their boring thing that they were so excited about. Like, whoa, Did you see what we did at Laguna Seca? Cool, man. But I still don't see people taking their Taycans to the track. And
I've never seen it.
Yeah. That's cool that they're chasing that record. I think that's cool. Like, I can't get on board for that. It doesn't make sense to me.
It does have carbon buckets, which is...
Yeah, that's kind of cool. And it had a full cage.
Actually, they do have a cage, and they do have a seat delete, and there's a ton of stuff. Like,
and we joked about that stuff. I was like, what are they going to do, a rear seat delete in this thing?
And yep. They did. They still have two doors, and they have a rear seat delete. It's insane.
Like, I don't know. I felt this was an opportunity when I saw them do that, you know, that mock-up. I was like, it's just a mock-up. I think they're going to do one. I expected them to do one at some point. I actually didn't expect them to do one this early because I really felt there's a little bit of, like, especially their momentum that they had with all of the stuff they were literally pulling out of the woodshed to say, like, let's do this, let's do this, let's do this. I thought they were going to go, like, hey, man, we need to do something like, remember the Carrera GT? Like,
bring it back.
Screw the 918. Like, that was an awesome car in its own right. I'm not trying to discredit that car and be disrespectful, but I'm saying everybody wants a manual.
Separate the two.
Yeah.
Dehybrid it and then make, they could have done what we just said is full EV. And then manual only. Oh, yeah. That would have been something. Manual only, full petrol, then EV, PDK.
That's exciting, man. That excites people, dude.
If you buy the full EV, you have the chance to buy.
Yeah.
The hypercar.
You want to talk about like real headline grabber? That'd be a real headline grabber. And
there's only half as maybe many petrol cars.
Hopefully, which it probably is not going to happen. Hopefully, this is all smoke and mirrors, and they're going to bamboozle us, and then they'll reveal something. It's like a V10 or a V12 manual mid-mounted car, and they're like, "See, all you people that were talking that trash, look what we did, and we're only building three of them." And they're all staying at the museum.
There's going to be three of them. One's staying at the house.
Exactly.
One's in the museum and one's in the
garage. One's
going to
tour and never start. Yeah. We're just going to push it around.
No motor.
Piss everybody off. Yeah. Exactly. What's it sound like? Nobody knows.
That would be the best. Just troll everybody. troll the world for an EV.
That would be badass.
And then make the petrol. Make the e-fuels motor.
Yeah.
That'd be the best.
But anyways, I told you it was a lot to unpack on this one. But, I mean, I just felt like this was a... Porsche is in the business of making timeless machines, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like we, ever since the Taycan came out, I know that there had to be change. I understand forward progress. I totally get that. I can wrap my hand around it. But I feel like as time goes on, they're... And it might have something to do with them being publicly traded now. Who knows? I know they were on this journey before that they went public, but I just feel that a little bit of their soul dies every year. A little bit of their soul dies. And it felt like, yes, they were on the brink of, you know, bankruptcy back when we were young and all that time. But I felt like when people saw Porsches back then, they were like, oh my God. And they felt that way about it. And, you know, the joke's on us in a way. Everyone's like, oh, well, they all look the same. Okay, I get that, whatever. To the layman, possibly. But it just feels like if they didn't have their GT department, they would be so boring.
Yeah, that's true. They would be the Toyota of...
They would be so boring. Like, literally, like... Everybody be just fighting over Turbo S's.
True.
Like that, if they didn't have a GT department. Like literally.
Which it would probably still make money because that's what they did for a bit.
But I guess it just breaks my heart a little bit because I'm just like wanted something like so retro-ish, but you know, modern with just like a super high revving engine, manual. Something that obviously, even regardless of whatever it was going to be, never able to afford it, but just be able to look at it and just know, you know, hear sounds of clips of it on the internet, or if you ever get a chance to see one in person, and be like, man, that is such a beautiful car. Like, that's such a beautiful noise that car makes. And we're not going to get that.
Yeah. I mean, we can only wish this entire misdirection and that E-Core is something cool.
Yeah. I want to believe that in my optimism.
It's not.
But is smoke and mirrors that they like to be with a lot of their stuff? I feel like that's more of Andy's department with the way they camo their GT cars and all that. Like, he's clever about that kind of stuff.
So what if they do a normal version and then they have a more expensive GT version? Because they've been doing this line of stuff. We know this.
That'd be kind of sick.
And then that GT version is the manual e-fuel.
Why don't they just make like an RSR for the street?
They should.
Like, just straight pipe, just
yeah.
No back window, just straight Kevlar on it. Like,
or do a street version 963.
And then, that would be so badass.
Just do it. Like, we get all the other Strassers.
We get it. We get it. We want it.
Haven't got one in a while.
Yeah, I just feel like this is such a miss, and that's why I want to dedicate some time to it, because it's, you know, hearing it's exciting in a way. Like, I don't want to sound like a Debbie Downer, but like, I feel like they gave up too early. I don't think it's necessary. Like, that Dieselgate was on the Volkswagen brothers, even though they did do their own diesel crap too. Don't get me wrong. I know the depths of that, but I don't think they should bear that cross alone. And yeah. I think, you know, Volkswagen's already doing that. I don't think that, you know, everybody's like, oh, hey, man, you know, everybody has a pretty good amnesia about stuff over time, where they're not like, I can't believe you're going to make a hypercar. It's combustion. Remember that Dieselgate? I don't think anybody's going to say that.
No.
So I think
they haven't trademarked.
If anybody's going to say, it's like, boo, you made a coffee maker.
Yeah, but it's a fast coffee maker.
Yeah.
It's true.
But it's the fastest coffee maker.
Like, they haven't
awesome.
Trademarked VW brothers. They should. It just sounds good.
It does, right? VW bros. Yeah. All right. So let's move on. So Top Gear, the newsletter, is basically putting a worldwide open vote, man, for what do you think the best 9/11 of all time is. And you don't have to give a reason. They're just, you know, I read an article. I just thought it was an interesting thing to talk about. And anything from a 930 Turbo, 964 RS, 997 GT3, RS 4.0. I'm not naming the stuff that's only available. Like, literally, if you think a 911, you know,
901,
you know, 83 SC is the best thing in the world, you can vote for that. My point is actually just saying this to everybody who's listening, and pass the word to everyone else.
It's going to vote.
Vote for your car.
Yeah.
Vote for what you think is best, because they're going to do a tally and then they're going to announce it. I think it'd be interesting to see what gets the most votes and which one wins, because there's so many variants of 911s. It's really a wild goose chase. I mean, you could probably narrow it down to probably five that you think that could win.
Yeah.
But even when within those five, would be challenging to be like, that one's definitely going to win.
What if it's just a tie across the board?
Base Carrera 992, best car in the world. No, but I mean, anything from a long hood car, you know, it's just kind of nuts. And so, obviously, putting you on the spot.
73 RS.
Are you being serious? Is that the one?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'd
nice.
The 73 RS.
Okay, cool.
Just because I think that's one of the most iconic things. I couldn't imagine anything. And probably Blue Script or something like that. Yeah,
that's a sexy car. Yeah. That's a good choice. I like your choice.
Maybe Green Script.
I think probably for me, 930 Turbo.
Oh, that's a good one. I like turbos.
I think that car commands so much presence. I still lust after that car after owning multiple 911s that I feel like were unique in their own way. I still want one of those. Yeah, and I don't want it for rallying. I don't want it. I want it just for me. I don't want to take it to car shows. I just want to get in that car and drive it. I want to hear that thing spool.
Just wants to let it sit in the garage.
Yeah. Just sit there and rev it. Ram, 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 ram. All right, that's good. See you again next month.
Probably don't have too many of those left in it, so gotta be careful.
No, I really do. I mean, the hips on that car, and I think everybody has a story for whatever car that they lost after. Yeah, it was one of mine, and it was, you know, I remember buying it from that leaflet book, you know, thing that you used to get in elementary school that you bring your little measly money in, and you could get a poster you know, you could get 50 cent, you know, 75 cent posters or whatever, and you're like, man, I'm going to get that thing. And then it shows up 6 months later, right before school gets out. And you're like, oh, yeah, I forgot I ordered that 6 months ago. And everybody's like up front digging through all the stuff, you know. It's like, oh, what'd you get? You know, and like opening it up. And you're like, oh, man, that's cool. And then you go up and you hang it on your wall and it's all crooked and shit. But you think it looks cool. And your parents are like, that looks like hell. But not the car, but like the way you hung it up.
Mike, you think that's askew?
No. You're like, what's going on in there? Why don't you just ask me to help you hang that up? You're like, don't touch it.
I've got it.
Don't touch it.
Perfect.
But yeah, for me, it's, and I think at some point in my life, I'm going to own one. Nothing's going to leave to get one. So that's the next dilemma is finding a place for it.
Do you have a color that you like? Or?
You know, I waffle around that about a lot.
I just figured it'd be black on black just because.
Yeah, I really do like that look for a 930. Mm-hmm. It just looks pretty menacing with the big hips and like. But you know, like another, like I liked this color before Devin and Megan got this car, but Petrol Blue and a 930 Turbo. Yeah. I've seen a couple of them look really, really good.
So, do they, anybody do a Wimbledon at all?
I'm sure there are some out. I've never seen one. That would be sick.
Ocean Jade that came on the, I don't know if it came on everything. I know I've seen it on boxes recently, but yeah, Ocean Jade would be something.
Yeah. And you know, honestly,
anything cool.
Anything that I'm going to buy isn't going to be collector grade quality anyways. Yeah. And I actually thought about this well before this podcast. This was a dream of mine, buying one of those and actually painting it like maritime blue, like full, like proper window out respray and do a maritime blue one and putting like gold BBS E88s on it. And then having the little snail and the exhaust dump right in the center, almost kind of like the 936s were like for them or whatever. And like, oh my God, dude, just straight pipe fireballs like out of the back of that thing and just cruising, man, just like. And I want, just for me, like, I know it's stupid and it doesn't matter, but I will pay
anti-lag.
I want that too, but I want the boost knob
in
the
car.
The archaic one, like the one that DP's cars had and all. Like, I want that stupid, like, big honking thing in the car where it's like you can just turn the boost. And it does have to turn it. I just don't want the knob in there.
We'll get Kevin to make you one.
Exactly. You like I can make that.
Little skulls on the high end of it.
Exactly. All right. It's got like the skull and crossbones, like poison up there. Yep. That would be hilarious. But yeah, I think for me,
like turtle and then.
Long story short, 930 Turbo. I've always been in love with that car. I've always lusted after that car. I know a lot of friends that have that car. I've been around them a lot. Yeah. I've never actually driven one. I've only ridden in them. I've never driven one.
What was Drew's? Was Drew's a? I thought Drew's a 930 Turbo. Yes, no, maybe.
But I guess
the first thing we drove.
Yeah, I guess it was.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah. Pretty sure.
Okay, then I've driven one. I mean, I'm not counting the DP cars we drove. Those are 930 variants. Those are, but I guess okay. I take that back. We have driven 930 Turbos.
They're driving too many cars.
Yeah. But second best car, it falls within that class, is a 930 slant nose. Like, I don't know. I really didn't like those cars for a very, very long time.
One of my favorites.
I always kind of was like, well, I don't
know. Steel one.
Like, of course. Yeah. I'm like, man, I really like the frog lights, you know, like on the normal one. But I don't know if it's just like an age, like a wine thing, like the older they get, like the cooler I think they are. Like, I'm like, man, that fucking
it's a little different. And
that flat bow is like, I just feel like that car screams more. It screams more the period than anything.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
Like, I see that car and I see the 930 just because I'm a Porsche enthusiast. But I see a 930 slant nose and I'm like, oh my God, dude, like, I'm in 1982 right now when I'm just looking at that thing, like instantly Keds jump on my feet and I'm like, whoa, I got stonewashed jeans on. I'm like, oh dude, what just happened? Like, I just looked at a flat nose and this is what happened to me. I would love to have one of those like white on white, cocaine white, interior. Like, that would be so sick. So maybe both someday, I don't know. But again, for same reasons though, I wouldn't beat on that car. That would just be a nice, like, for me car and fun. And, you know, I would think like to mix it up where you didn't want to be too retro, like even gold E88s would work on the slant nose on white would be pretty sick. And I think, you know, what really turned the tide is when we started driving RMC's DP cars.
Yeah.
With all those flat noses, it really made me appreciate the look of that car.
The look and then line of sight and all that. That's just
the way that car looks. Like the 930 Turbo has a lot of presence, but that car has a ton of presence because, I mean, it has like the gills in it too, like where for the air to offset and all that stuff. When you look at that thing, it looks aggressive.
Yeah. That's RS before RS.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, anyways. Tangenting like we always do, but go ahead and tell us which one you think the best one is and go ahead and vote. I'd be interested to see what the final tally is on that. And I think if it ends up being something kind of like so typical, I might be a little upset about it, you know?
Just a plain, like you said, just a plain 911, and then that wins it.
Not even just that. I meant just like an easy call, meaning like, you know, everybody picks like 911, not the, like the OG 911, the, you know, ST or the original 911R. It's like, that is super special. No one's ever driven that car. And like, yeah, it's the greatest. Like, I feel like it almost has to be a car that almost the masses have driven to be able to put an opinion on
to get a large opinion on it.
Yeah.
I don't know. We give opinions all the time.
That's true. But we've been around a lot of crap, so.
You're going to get your slant nose in front of airplanes, whatever you do it. Please do that. Thanks.
I will. I'll do it just for you.
It's such an old man thing to do.
I'll get the same photo people from old dipshit with the gloves gets.
yeah.
I'll get those people to come in and do it. All right. So, little race update. If you were asleep at the wheel, Porsche took third at Sebring, the 963. Looked good for most of the race, right?
Yeah, I was like, man, we're leading. It's nice. We finally must have gotten some power.
Yeah,
something happened, and then
you're like, sun went down. Looks good. What really bailed us out?
Couldn't do it.
That crazy ass wreck that the Cadillac had.
The one they flipped.
Yeah, did you see that? Yeah. That was crazy. I mean, we weren't there, but we're watching, and I was like, holy crap, dude. Yeah, it annihilated that tire bin and then flipped over. And I was like, he's still in there. But thankfully, he was okay. But yeah, that car was so strong. Like, that, if he hadn't wrecked, that car was going to win, man. Like, that car was gapping. Like, but you know what? That's the thing about Cadillac. We've talked about this before. Their cars are so fast.
Yeah.
Like, so fast.
Bald eagles make different
horses. Yeah. They're just angry, man. Like, pissed off. Like, they just do not care. But, yeah, good on Porsche. Moved up, you know, obviously third helps a lot in the point standing, so that helps.
I mean, just to get points. It's not like it's the worst thing that could ever happen, but.
No, I mean, you got to score. I mean, they took first at Rolex. They took first in Qatar. They took third here. I would say that's pretty good start to the season. I mean, podiuming still is great. So their sister car is still having some troubles. Mm-hmm. Bad luck, not necessarily their fault. You know, it's what happens, unfortunately.
I've got BOP stats if you want to hear those.
Let's do hear them, please.
Which is more astounding now that I look at them when we talked about Cadillac. So BOP this is Daytona. Well, it says changes since Daytona, so for Sebring. Acura was down 38 pounds and down 11 horsepower.
Jeez. And they were super fast, though. Yeah.
And then BMW was down 2 pounds and down 11 horsepower. Cadillac was plus 66 pounds and plus 13 horsepower.
Jeez.
And then we were down 4 pounds and then also down 15 horsepower.
Okay.
So that's something.
So they crippled us a little bit on power.
Yeah.
15 horsepower.
I mean,
that's a difference, man. I mean,
what Cadillac has a plus 13, and we don't know what the bases are.
Exactly. I mean, well, that's what? Almost a 30-point swing.
Yeah.
Right? If you think about it.
Yeah, it would be, because you'd be minusing where with the base and then 30.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's 30, yeah.
That's a lot. And for us to hang out that long, says our car is fast.
Yeah.
Bastards. Try to do us wrong.
Now we know.
Yeah, so that's your race update. So rally season is upon us. If you haven't already, start getting your car ready because there is obviously still fallout from 2020. Like, there's still tire shortages, if you're not aware. So don't wait till last minute. I mean, tire shortage in the sense of you'll get them, but maybe it'll take a month. But don't wait till the last month because you might not get them that month. So just be proactive about getting your cars ready. I'm saying this for any rally that you're going to do or any track stuff you're going to do, especially if you're going to be attending foreign. Don't wait till last minute to get your car ready. You know, get it ready far in advance. Even good to get it ready and do a shakedown before you bring it, yeah, just to make sure, you know, you're independent. You know, I'm sure they're all great, but they put all the lug nuts on right and they're not all loose. Just got nothing wrong with a little double check before pre-flight, right?
Something that handles some stuff in the wet because there could be rain.
Exactly.
I mean, we don't want it, but.
But
didn't you switch tires? Didn't you go from R888Rs to something else?
R1R. Okay, yeah, it's still a Toyo, but like it's an R1R for the 964.
Yeah.
I went from R888s on the GT3 to 4Ss.
Okay.
So that's what's on there right now. If I start trailering, which I think I may start that this year, I'm going to kind of do a trial run and see how I feel about it and see if I like it or not. If I don't like it, then I'll go back to driving. But if I start trailering, I might go back to R compound on both of the cars. That's because that was the whole reason why I switched away from it, is because I was
getting caught up in rain or whatever else.
Road tripping so far from South Florida all the way up to the mountains on a regular basis. And that's just too much tarmac, too much risk. But if the car's going to be trailered up there, I can run R compound once I get there. It doesn't matter.
So you're getting a two-car hauler? Is that what you said?
So you need a ride? Is that what you're saying? You're like, hey, just in case.
Just checking this.
Put the Cayenne to work, man. But yeah, I think I'm gonna for Ruckus in May, I think I'm gonna trailer up.
Nice.
At least till Georgia. I'm not gonna go all the way to Virginia.
Meet up with the boys.
Yeah. I think a lot of people in that area are gonna meet up. Anybody from South Florida, anybody in that area, like who wants to travel up, and then we're gonna go.
That seems like a decent distance, but not crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's still a pretty good clip from there.
6 hours?
Yeah. So, you know, to drive 8.5 from here and then to go another 6. And see, here's the thing, like, and I'm sure I'm speaking to the people who already know this. When you travel that far and then you're going to go drive in the mountains, it's like, in my mind, because I'm just kind of a data guy, I'm like, man, I am just wasting tire on the interstate.
Yeah.
You know, good tire, you know, and not that and it's not even about the price of the tire, it's about the actual degradation of it once I get to my destination. And then I drive hard there and then I have to come home.
Yeah.
So trust me, I've been playing this, you know this, I've been playing this game for 6-7 years now where I'm kind of like, I'm so sick of doing this because, I want to find a tread wear tire that doesn't burn out too much back. And, you know, I have to play that game. But I'm telling you, man, I do miss those R888s. Like those tires that I have on there now, they're very good, but they're not R compound. You know, they're sticky, but they're not R888s. Those things just stuck so good. Inspire so much confidence. And it's not even just the stickiness of that car, that tire. That sidewall is a stiff sidewall. Like, I like that. I didn't realize this until I switched out of it, but I really enjoy that because the softer sidewall,
you can tell the difference.
Yeah, there's more lean in that, and it makes me nervous.
Okay.
The car feels like it's going to step out more with those tires, even though it's not. Just the bite points a little bit more give.
And it's not 964 wise or
both
cars.
Yeah, even on that Michelin, that sidewall is softer than that R888.
Oh yeah,
and it's just, and I mean it's probably millimeters, but I can feel it. I can definitely feel it where I'm on the road and I'm like, man, the car is moving more than it used to. So And maybe it's something I just got to get over. You know, maybe this next season I'll have, this will be the second run with those tires on them now. Yeah. And like, maybe I'll feel more comfortable about it. Maybe I won't. Who knows? Maybe I need to go.
Just keep changing things every time.
You exactly. That's how it gets better, right? Just keep every time something you come back, change it again. You can change it again. Here's the funny thing is what I had on there worked. So what, you know, not being like super like over analytical about it is if the trailering situation works, just go back to what you were doing before. Cause that worked. Yeah, so that makes the most sense. Right. So that's why the trailering thing is also appealing to me, but maybe I just need to put more camber in the front. And so I get more bite, you know, like we'll just go so negative 10 camber in the front, just running on like shoestring, like bicycle, like edges, like where it's like cutting like a knife, but I can like literally make one heat run and then it's like I'm corded like on the front. But like, that's dude, okay. That was, but you see how fast I was.
No, I have a second set of tires. It's fine. I trailered.
It's all good. It's all good. They'll be thrashed before I even get up there if I drove up that way. It'd be like, I didn't even make it.
Just VP fuel jugs and
yeah, they're gone.
Semi slicks.
Here's an interesting thing. Oh, so the 964 is at Arnage right now, getting a ton of stuff done to it.
Whole thing.
That's why all those, remember all those boxes that were in here? Yeah. They're all gone.
Oh, no, that's
because
why
they're all getting
around.
Stuck into that car right now. So, you know, brakes, all that stuff. We're doing all that. It's due. And possibly camber adjustment.
May or may not.
Yeah. But finally going to fix that rear, the deck lid thing I've been talking about. Okay. I was just waiting for all the parts to come in and then Corey basically to have opening and where all the timing meets up so we can just go drop that off. So just did that. So excited to get that thing back and it'll be running like a beast. Something interesting right before you came over, actually, I was reading some stuff and some knowledge, some 997 GT3 knowledge that I did not know. If you're into modding your cars or doing tunes like Aaron and I are, like we both have tunes on our cars.
I don't yet.
This isn't, okay, well, you might be interested in this.
I am.
However, the caveat to this, you actually have to think about this for a second. It's not going to hurt the car, but you're going to have a fueling problem. So Cobb, apparently our cars can run E85 with the pumps, no injector change, no nothing. Yeah. They have found a tune that you can run E85 on, and it's a significant boost. In the 40 to 40 horsepower range boost. Okay. However, you can't run that tune, obviously, if you're in the mountains, because everywhere you stop doesn't have E85. Mm. And if you're really out there pushing, you're going to be in a position where you don't, if you can't find E85, you're going to be really stuck. So you got to bring maybe the Cobb tune and then just tune back like right there in your car back to pump gas, which you could do. But from a convenience standpoint, that turns into a major pain in the ass. But I found that to be very interesting. I had no idea. I thought, generally speaking, just because I'm thinking of turbo cars and all that kind of stuff, you know, why wouldn't an A car be able to run that? But I thought at least at a minimum, we'd have to run different plugs, maybe possibly a different fuel pump. But it says you can run all of that stock stuff on their tune.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could be a local hero, like as long as you know you have a E85 pump around. But like, that's the problem is like if you travel with that car again, even if you trailer that car and you're in the mountains, you know how it is. We go to certain towns and we're making gas stops at places. There's no E85 up there, man. Like they don't keep that crap up there.
I was trying to think if there's anything. No, probably not.
And even if there is, it'll be hit or miss. Like you'll be doing the range anxiety thing. You'll be like, am I going to make it to the next gas station?
Because you're not going to get the same mileage out of the E85.
No, you're like, am I going to make it to the next gas station? So
we plan pretty well, so you probably would. As long as it was E85.
But what if the next station E85 and you're going a route and you're going the opposite direction?
You just have a bunch of just extra fuel cans in the front. That's it.
Easy fix. Just have the support vehicle.
Just more weight.
Just have the support vehicle, like having jugs of VP AE85 just dragging around behind you. Like,
also
all right, we'll be on the backside of the mountain, meet you there. I need to fill up.
It's also running E85. just to make it funny. That was me a little dicey.
Well, I used it too. He's like, what? But I just thought that was neat. I think Matt is interested in that too. So that's why I kind of was like, I saw him, his little, like, he's sniffing around it. And I saw it. I was like, oh, what's he sniffing around out here? I was like, oh, and I looked at it and I'm like, okay. I didn't even know this was a thing. How about that? But
that'd be interesting. I wonder, I mean, no one's done a, like, how long does your motor last after E85 is running or
video? Well, there's a guy in California has a 997 GT3.1.
Yeah.
And he's ran 24,000 miles on it.
Oh, well,
that's... And his motor's fine. So okay. I think it can do it. So yeah, for everybody that has one,
that tune's been released since 2017. Yeah, so that's not pretty...
I know, but I'm just saying, like, I don't think really? That's common knowledge because no. I don't think
I've never
even talked to anybody with a GT3 in our realm that's talked about. I mean, we've done tunes like, oh yeah, let's do a tune, but nobody talked about doing a tune with fuel, that's like true. Meaning like on, you know, oh yeah, I do a 93 octane tune. Okay. Yeah. That's normal. Like everybody, I feel like an E85 tune without switching plugs, that I think that's a big one, without switching plugs or fuel pumps or any of that kind of stuff or coils and be able to run that and still run 85 is, I think, is unique.
It's a race motor.
That's how high strung that thing is, man. It can burn that shit. Doesn't matter. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll meet you on the quiet side of things, where things get nasty at the taxi side. no, just kidding. The membership side of our podcast. Meet us there.
Patreon.com/BCarTalk. Sign up.
You heard what he said.
You'll hear the rest of it.
All right. Welcome to the backside of the podcast.
The backside.
So something cool I thought was worth mentioning. I didn't know Niki Lauda.
Hey, it's Aaron, and I want to just thank you for listening to the podcast. There's actually more of the podcast. We do a whole other half, if not more, depending on what the topics are, over on patreon.com/BCarTalk. Join the club, hear more of the podcast, be entered for the giveaways, be entered to get in the drive. There's a lot more that comes with it. So, again, if you want to support even more than you do, you can go to the website, like I mentioned, patreon.com/BCarTalk, and you'll be on your way. Thank you.